I am delighted to be a part of your annual meeting. In recent years, the Cattlemen's Beef Board, through its checkoff, has given high priority to being a catalyst in product innovation and value-adding initiatives. This is one way that NCBA and the Beef Board have worked to help the industry meet user expectations and enhance demand. The product innovation focus started in the late 90s. At that time, I was still a full-time member of the NCBA team. So it's a real exciting treat for me to share some of the progress of this new strategic strategy that the industry introduced in the late 90s. Also, I'd like to take a moment at this stage to recognize and salute one of our sponsors of this conference, Pat Adrian. Pat is here in the front row and a long-time executive officer of the South Dakota Beef Council, and I assure you, Pat has been a strong leader and partner in building the state national beef marketing team. Thank you, Pat. Now, during tough markets, and everybody in this room has experienced a tough market, some cattle people say they're not in the beef business. They're in the cattle business. However, it's my firm belief that the industry profitability can be achieved by all points along the value chain. The rancher, the feeder, the packer, the retailer, and food service operator. Working together with a common goal, satisfying the consumer. This opportunity for industry-wide profitability is absolutely dependent on a clear eye, relentless focus on the consumer and what is required for him or her to persistently spend more money on beef. At the risk of offending someone, I suggest that people who don't get that are a costly drag on the beef business. To improve profitability in the cattle business, the industry must increase consumer demand for beef. Now, without getting too bogged down in economics 101, I'll leave that to my associate, John. Let me say that one of two things must happen to increase demand. We must sell the same amount of beef at higher prices. Or we must sell beef at the same price, sell more beef at the same price. Demand is a reflection of consumer attitudes about beef and the value that they attach to it. Now, our industry, as all of you are well aware, had a painful wake-up call to the importance of demand in the late 70s, 80s, and most of the 90s. In those two decades, the industry endured a devastating 50% decline in beef demand. The consumer is the only genuine or new source of wealth for the beef industry. The beef industry can only be a growth industry if it consistently competes successfully in the marketplace for the consumer's dollars. And that requires the focused participation of all industry segments. Now, I want to spend some time sharing a 5-year case study of the beef industry since 1998, when we hit the 20-year low in beef demand. I'll discuss key new product initiatives implemented to help halt the decline in demand and start competing more successfully in the marketplace. Now, it is no accident the more favorable position the beef industry finds itself in today regarding new products. It is part of a carefully planned and executed initiative by the Beef Industry Council and the Meat Board that began in 1995 with the so-called Project 17. Mark Thomas, who many of you know today is Vice President of Consumer Marketing for NCBA, was an important member of that group. The key findings of this product team were, one, consumers want convenience and diversity in their beef products. Number two, at that time, the marketplace was responding to new consumer desires, but the beef industry was not. Three, the $1 per head checkoff should be used as a catalyst to ensure product initiatives, new product initiatives, since the beef industry, left to its own devices at that time, had not been able to do so. One of the most strategic moves based on the Project 7 report was the creation of the R&D Ranch. The R&D Ranch is a team of experts in market research, product development, meat science, culinary, food manufacturing, packaging, retailing, and so forth. Its objective was to dramatize the need for new, convenient beef products and to work shoulder to shoulder with the private sector to develop and launch new products. In 1998, the beef industry accepted an aggressive goal to halt the 20-year decline in beef demand by 2001. Some thought at that time that was an impossible goal. It certainly required change and innovation, doing things differently. It meant seeking ways to add value through new products that fit the needs of a time-pressed mother who served an enjoyable meal to her family after working outside the home all day. It meant new products for the smaller families and the growing single-person households, and branded products to add value and customer loyalty. Now, during this 20-year period that the beef industry was losing demand, is the same 20-year period the beef industry, that the Purdue Farms and Tyson Foods revolutionized the poultry industry by turning it from the whole bird commodity into a branded food business with unlimited product innovations from boneless, skinless chicken breasts to buffalo wings. Many in the beef industry were skeptical that the painful decline in demand could not be reversed. Product development and branding proponents, however, pointed to the success of other industries, like the U.S. coffee industry, where consumption fell about 50% over four decades, until Starbucks made a brand out of the commodity. Now coffee consumption is inching upwards each year since 1995. Also, the successful growth of pre-cut and bagged lettuce and vegetables. Today, about a third of all the lettuce is sold in the U.S., branded and bagged. Now, even closer to home for the red meat industry is the success of the poultry business model. Again, Purdue Farms and Tyson Foods pioneered the pre-seasoned and microwavable pieces, slapping their names on what had long been look-alike chicken parts, which rapidly expanded markets and significantly increased their market share. Now, this morning, during my discussion with you, I hope to answer one key question. Are U.S. consumers buying these new branded value-added beef products? Or is it just more talk? Just more wishful thinking in the red meat industry? First in that discussion, I'm going to narrow my focus to one product category, refrigerated heat and serve entrees. Now, less than 5 years ago, this category did not exist on a national basis. Only three small regional companies were manufacturing a few of these products, and none were in a position to go national. The heat and serve category offers fully cooked products, such as beef roast, with that familiar slow-cooked flavor development in just 10 minutes or less from the refrigerator to the microwave to the dinner table. In addition to the checkoff-funded R&D Ranch, the Beef Board and NCBA implemented a push-pull strategy to create consumer and trade awareness of these new heat-and-serve beef products. A pull-effect strategy to motivate consumers to ask for retail for these new products. Let's take a look at a couple of the industry's TV commercials which help pull these products through and support other industry programs that were working at the same time to sell them in at retail.
In the next 10 minutes, new journeys will begin. Small wonders will occur. And cooking up a great beef dinner will take you just, you guessed it, 10 minutes. How? With nutritious, fully cooked and prepared beef dishes. They're in your grocer's meat case. Just heat for 10 minutes and enjoy. In the next 10 minutes, good things are going to happen. Beef. It's what's for dinner tonight.
Grill's here. Grill's here. Grill's here.
Heat and eat beef entrees. Your old-fashioned family meal, ready in about 10 minutes.
Mom?
Beef. It's what's for dinner.
While these ads were running, a strong push with personal calls to retail headquarters being made with two goals in mind. One, to inform retailers of the new heat and serve products, and two, to urge them to establish a convenience section in the fresh meat case so customers could easily find the new product. To further increase awareness, the new beef products, the Beef Board funded the Best Beef, Best New Beef Product contest. In the first contest, the winner was Harris Ranch Beef Pagos. That year, four of the five finalists were branded heat and serve products. Well, where are we now after 5 years? In some aspects, we're right on target. And from other perspectives, we're far exceeded the expectations of the first 5 years. Greatly expanded marketing resources from three relatively small regional processors to three national companies, Hormel, Tyson, and Smithfield, plus several regional companies, such as Harris Ranch. They market multiple heat and serve products. Beef pot roast, beef tips, beef meatloaf, sirloin steaks, shredded beef, ground beef, and more. Hormel Foods entered into an alliance with Flint Hill Foods in the late 1999. Flint Hill was one of the three original regional processors who pioneered heat and serve entrees. Bernie Hansen, president of Flint Hills, made this observation. We sold product on our own, but try as hard as we did, success did not really come until we hooked up with Hormel. We witnessed the power of a major national brand. Today, Hormel heat and serve products enjoy national retail distribution with a 41% market share of the heat and serve category. Hormel's advertising targeted women in their 20s, the first generation to grow up with a microwave. Hormel launched a $20 million campaign showing attractive young women having fun and relaxing instead of cooking, then sitting down to a meal of roast beef.
Monday. It's the day for the snooze button. A day for meetings. A day to run away, and a day for Hormel recovered beef roast. Tender, juicy, ready minutes from your grocery refrigerated meat case. Make the day delicious, no matter what day it is. Today's flavor, Hormel.
IBP, in 1998, hired the first marketing executive. Interesting, he was from Tyson. To do for the red meat industry, or do for the red meat products, what Tyson Foods did for chicken. After extensive research, IBP selected it for its brand, Thomas E. Wilson. IBP had built two cooking plants, and plans to build more. IBP at that time had kicked off a $15 million ad campaign during the Salt Lake City Winter Olympics.
It's not just a roast, it's dinner. No, it's more than dinner. It's family time. That's why at Thomas E. Wilson, we spend up to 12 hours cooking every sliced beef or pork roast so they'll be tender and juicy. And since you can have them ready in just 5 minutes, you'll have more time for the really important things. Aren't they the reasons you make dinner in the first place? Make more out of dinner with Thomas E. Wilson.
As you're all aware, last year, Tyson replaced Thomas E. Wilson with the Tyson brand. That decision was based on the fact that Tyson has a 95% consumer recognition. Very high. This print ad is an example of Tyson's $100 million campaign last year to help transition consumers from Thomas E. Wilson to Tyson. And the ad says, when it comes to quality chicken, Tyson has always been the name you trust. Now Tyson is proud to bring you the same high quality in our new beef and pork products. Let's take a look at the position of Tyson's Heat to Serve products when they made the transition.
It's a fine line. The line between holding on tight and letting go. But some things you'll never let go of, like your insistence on quality. That's why you give your family Tyson. We've always been quality chicken. Now we're quality beef and pork too. If it says Tyson, it's quality guaranteed. Quality chicken, beef, pork. It's what you expect from Tyson, and it's what your family deserves.
Tyson Beef Heat and Serve sales increased 49% last year, earning a 28% share of the category. Smithfield Foods has acquired RMA Foods, another of the pioneering heat and serve processors. They are marketed under three brands, Smithfield Premium, John Morrell Convenience, and RMA Quick and Easy Brand.
Dinner's ready. Dinner's ready.
Dinner's ready.
Just tell me, Doctor. Is he going to live?
I'll have to tell you later.
When you put a tender, juicy pork roast on the table, everyone makes time for dinner. New Smithfield entrees, classic family favorites like pork roast and beef pot roast, fully cooked and ready to serve in minutes.
Farmland was the first to introduce ground and brown, fully cooked ground beef. This product, however, was soon pulled from the distribution. I think it's a reminder to us of the challenge and frustration in new product development. However, at the same time, General Mills successfully introduced Old El Paso, a fully cooked and seasoned ground beef. The Checkoff-funded Beef Made Easy program was introduced to retailers by NCBA and state beef councils to organize the beef section of the meat case by cooking method and provide on-pack cooking instructions for every cut of beef. It included a meals and minutes section for convenient products of all protein sources. That's a strong push for heat and serve products. To date, more than 10,000 retail stores and second-tier retailers have implemented the program. Almost 90% of those retailers experienced some positive growth. The Wall Street Journal projects that the heat and serve red meats could easily grow to $1 billion annual sales within a decade. That's impressive for a category that barely existed just 5 years ago. But we must keep in mind that the heat and serve category is still a niche market. It's been estimated by some that product development takes at least a year from concept to startup, and it costs at least $1 million per unit, with only a few new products out of every 100 succeeding. I think that begs the question then, how can a non-profit commodity group like NCBA and the Beef Board make a difference? The Chekhov-funded RNG ranch has proven to be a positive catalyst in speeding up the marketing mix. A little seed money, new market research, and initial market introduction support has helped convince some companies to make a huge investment that it takes to properly launch new products. To add value to traditional fresh meat cuts, U.S. meat packers and retailers have become more aggressive in using trademark names and promoting their brands directly to consumers. The Wall Street Journal has observed that this is one of the food business' biggest new battlefields, as meat packers make a bold bid to turn their anonymous product into coveted national brand names. In short, to turn from commodity to consumer-driven businesses. Some say the red meat industry has a long tradition of branding. That's true, mostly in the processed products. Joining the tradition of Armour, Oscar Mayer, Hormel, Swift is Sausage by George. Yes, that's the same George Foreman, the puncher, the preacher, the grill hustler, and now the sausage maker. Packer and processors throughout the world have for decades, if not centuries, branded hot dogs, sausages, and other processed meat products to add value by turning less tender beef and pork cuts, trimmings, and edible fat into a tasty and convenient food which people buy and enjoy often. But what about the high-quality, fresh, whole muscle cuts, like steaks, chops, roasts? They have been, and for the most part today, are sold as commodities. Over 80% of beef production in the U.S. has traditionally been sold as commodities, differentiated only by the USDA quality grades, which were originally designed for use by the trade in buying and selling, and not the ultimate consumer. Thus, consumers do not identify quality steaks or roasts with major beef companies like Hormel, Smithfield, Tyson, ConAgra. This is changing with new convenient beef products. 97 branded beef products have been granted the use of the Chekhov-funded Mark of Quality seal by the Brandlight Commission. A panel of leading U.S. beef producers, along with the NCBA culinary professionals, review branded, convenient beef products. The market quality assures consumers of superior taste and satisfaction. Although the heat and serve products and the market quality branded products are exciting developments for the beef industry, they represent just one thrust of NCBA's strategy. Through the checkoff, the Beef Board and NCBA are also developing new applications for old products. The beef industry's new products have gotten the attention of media, like the CNBCs.
CNBC presents Squawk Box with Mark Haynes.
Mark, after losing out to chicken on the all-American dinner table for decades, beef decided to turn the tables on its feathered friends by using some of chicken's own tactics. Figure out a way to make more money out of every cut of beef and by making beef easier to use in everyday dishes. The researchers, technicians, taste testers of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association Culinary Center in Chicago. What they do is spend their time dreaming up and cooking up different ways to prepare and slice up beef.
This is the beef version of a boneless, skinless chicken breast. It's just as lean. It's tender. It's nutritious, and I think the best thing about this is that it tastes like steak instead of chicken.
Here may be the single greatest beef idea of all time, a cheeseburger fry.
Do they give the Nobel Prize for food?
I think they should if they don't.
I think they're doing.
They figured out several new cuts.
This will run you about 99 cents a pound on sale. And our goal is that we can create steaks out of here that might go from $4.99 to $5.99 a pound.
As you see, the key application of beef value cuts, adding value to the underutilized chuck and round. The new beef value cuts were made possible by the Chekhov-funded muscle profiling studies conducted by the NCBA Research Group in partnership with the University of Florida and University of Nebraska. Researchers analyzed 39 muscles in the chucking round for palatability and functionality. They discovered that several tender and flavorful steaks and roasts could be cut from the wholesale chucked and rounds and merchandised at increased value. The ranch cut from the shoulder is similar in flavor and texture to the top sirloin. The petite tender is a small muscle located on the shoulder cloth. This cut can be roasted, cut into medallions, or grilled as a single steak. And one of the 14 cuts, the flat iron steak, is the early front runner. Cut from the top blade, the second most tender beef muscle, the flat iron is a flavorful, well-marbled steak that is consistently less expensive than comparable cuts. And you've had a chance to try some of those value cuts during your conference. Now, Sysco, the nation's largest food distributor, is offering three of the value cuts from the chuck in all of their major operating companies. What's this mean to the industry? Virtually any restaurant operator across the country can order these products. Retailers are also test marketing the value cuts. Today, five regional chains are selling these cuts in the meat case in more than 100 stores, and every major packer is offering a single muscle subprimal, which yield these cuts. Inspired by the Chekhov-funded Beef Value Cuts program, Tyson Foods has leveraged their brand with frozen steaks, including the Flatiron and other value steaks. Tyson Foods tested these frozen steaks on the West Coast in resealable packages. Now, chicken is the industry's number one competitor, or as some would say in marketing jargon, chicken is our enemy. They have been successful for some time with their rotisserie chicken at retail. It's a popular, convenient meal. The beef industry is taking a lesson from the chicken industry, and we are testing at retail an alternative for consumers, the ultimate comfort food, home-style pot roast, slow-roasted and tenderness and flavor. Kroger and SuperTarget were the first to offer the home-style pot roast. 8 additional food chains are selling the pot roast, and 10 more have it under consideration. Now, one of America's all-time favorite sandwiches, the cheeseburger, comes packaged in a fun finger food. Cheeseburger fries has created quite a stir. Cheeseburger fries are ground beef, cheese, and spices wrapped in a crispy coating. It is an effort of the industry to put more beef into America's snack food. Newsmen seem to like them.
Here comes the Nobel Prize winning. Cheeseburger fries.
And then there's also some of our great new value steaks to try.
Value steaks and cheeseburger fries. Have a cheeseburger fries.
Have a cheeseburger fries.
Yeah, by all means. Life does not get any better than this.
Don't talk with your mouth full.
On TV.
This is very good.
These are our new value steaks. They are the Flatiron steak you'll be seeing out there. It's a great value. Tastes as good as a ribeye or T-bone, but it's a much better value when you see it at the store.
That's good.
That's very good.
Yeah.
See?
Tender,
that's good. I'll take care of you.
That's good.
Yeah, if I don't
know.
Okay, so I'd like to wrap some of that up and take it with you. I'll just stop.
No problem.
In 2003, consumer expenditures on beef was up $14 billion, and demand continued to grow 5.5% over the previous year. And what does it mean for the producer? $200 more per head for fed cattle. Last fall, Steve Kay, who's a highly respected editor of the Cattle Buyers Weekly, summed it up this way. The market continues to remind the cattle industry that the best way to put more money in producers' pockets is to improve demand. Years of patient demand building through beef checkoff finance programs and other means is certainly paying off. In conclusion, I want to share with you a charge of the late Dr. Max Brunk, the highly regarded marketing professor at Cornell University. He gave this charge to Cattleman many years ago. And in Dr. Brunk's fiery style, and some of you without a doubt knew Dr. Brunk and appreciated his wisdom and style, but in that fiery style he said, you have to work and steam and sweat to produce livestock and meat products. But that does not give you a right to a market. To get a right, to get that right, you also have to work and steam and sweat to create markets, to take markets away from someone else, to keep someone else from taking your markets away from you. The main difference today compared to Dr. Brunk's statement of 35 years ago is that more cattlemen, just like you, now believe that you do have to work and steam and sweat to innovate, to add value, to build consumer demand, and ultimately to create new markets for beef.